Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. Fighting broke out again today in Lebanon between Israeli and Syrian tanks and artillery east of Beirut and in southern Lebanon near the Syrian border. And Israeli troops clashed with Palestinian guerrillas at refugee camps near the capital. All this happened as Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin returned home from Washington. Ike Pappas reports from Tel Aviv.
One of the first things Begin is expected to do today is to look into charges made by members of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee that Israel used so-called American-made cluster bombs in Lebanon, causing unnecessary civilian deaths. By agreement with the United States, the bombs, which released dozens of highly lethal steel grenades, are to be used only against military targets for defensive purposes. When he arrived, Begin received reports on the latest fighting. Two Syrian soldiers were killed this morning in a tank and artillery battle between Syrian and Israeli units along the central front in Lebanon, east of Beirut. The renewed combat broke a ceasefire called last night after Israeli armor, artillery, and aircraft pounded not only Syrian but PLO targets inside West Beirut in day-long attacks. During the fierce fighting, the people of East Beirut went about their daily routines, while others paused to casually watch what some of them called the show unfolding before them from a high ridge overlooking Beirut. It was difficult to keep in mind that with every puff of white smoke that rose from the city, people were dying. Ike Pappas, CBS News, Tel Aviv.
Chairman Charles Percy of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee was interviewed on the CBS Morning News about that meeting yesterday with Prime Minister Begin. By all accounts, it was a stormy one, and Percy was asked why.
I think that the grave concern of all of us, including myself, has been that Israel has gone beyond even what they said they were going to do. The 40-kilometer line has long since passed. The shelling of civilians, the killing of innocent people has gone too excessive, it seems. And the explanations given by Prime Minister Begin simply were not acceptable to most of the senators.
On all sides, yesterday's closed-door meeting of the committee with Prime Minister Begin is described in strong terms. In the words of Massachusetts Democrat Paul Tsongas, "In my 8 years in Washington, I have never seen such an angry session with a foreign head of state." Democrat Daniel Patrick Moynihan of New York calls it the most difficult meeting with a head of state in my experience. Republican Larry Pressler of South Dakota says it's the first time he has seen such a confrontation between the Prime Minister of Israel and senators in terms of head-to-head disagreement. I think the message Begin is getting, Pressler adds, is that Israel is going to have to take a step or two backward. British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher is in New York today, preparing to make her first appearance before the UN General Assembly. We'll get the story from Richard C. Hotelet.
Mrs. Thatcher flew in from London last night to speak to the Assembly's special session on disarmament, and that apparently is all she will talk about. In her view, the United Nations is not now the place to discuss the Falkland Islands. It is up to Britain alone to decide what needs to be done there. But this afternoon, she flies to Washington at President Reagan's invitation and is likely to discuss with him the political and strategic problems that follow Britain's victory in the South Atlantic. Britain would like American support to scale down the burden of defending these remote islands against a more than probably hostile Argentina. Last night, the Argentine delegate told the General Assembly his country will not stop pressing its claim to the Falklands and to the South Georgia and South Sandwich Island groups. As long as a colonial situation exists in the islands, he said, there will be no lasting peace in the South Atlantic. Britain's Sir Anthony Parsons replied almost with a sigh that Britain will have to maintain military forces in the area larger than the 40 Marines who had previously imposed colonial rule on the islanders. Richard C. Hotelet, CBS News.
In Buenos Aires, as we hear from Charles Gomez, the Argentine army has in effect seized control of the government.
The Army, defying the Air Force and Navy, announced last evening the appointment of retired Army General Reynaldo Bignone as the country's next president. The move, according to some diplomats, amounted to an internal coup after the Army refused to accept demands from the Air Force and Navy that the new president be a civilian. The Navy and Air Force have withdrawn political support from the junta, leaving the Army to run Argentina by itself. The pressure to support a retired general came from Lieutenant General Cristino Nicolaides, the man chosen to replace former Army commander and president, Lieutenant General Leopoldo Galtieri. Traditionally, the Army has been the strongest member of the junta, and this latest action reinforces that position. Air Force Commander Basilio Lamidoso will stay on as a member of the junta, but only for national security matters. The Navy has been less clear on whether Admiral Jorge Anaya will remain as a member of the junta. Far from pulling the country together, the appointment of Viñone further destabilizes a government already on shaky ground. Charles Gomez, CBS News, Buenos Aires.
Anti-government guerrillas in El Salvador have proclaimed a ban on highway travel by government, commercial, or private vehicles throughout the country commencing today. The rebel radio station Venceremos declares that all vehicles violating the ban will be destroyed. The Justice Department yesterday charged 18 Japanese businessmen, 6 in this country, 12 in Japan, with conspiring to steal computer secrets from IBM. Gordon Joseloff reports the reaction in Tokyo.
News of the indictments hit Japan like a bombshell. Most Japanese learning about them on radio or television before heading off to work. Executives of both Mitsubishi and Hitachi were quick to meet with the press. Mitsubishi said it was surprised and shocked. The company said a preliminary investigation had convinced it there is no basis in law or fact for the charges. Mitsubishi added that the accusations may have been the result of a serious misunderstanding by U.S. authorities. Late in the day, Hitachi acknowledged paying $540,000 for information it believed had been obtained in a legitimate way. A company spokesman said it was possible some overzealous employees may have been too eager in seeking information, and if that was the case, the company was sorry. Law experts say it's unlikely Japan will comply with any U.S. extradition request for the 12 indicted Hitachi and Mitsubishi employees now in Japan. They say that's because no Japanese has ever been extradited to the United States. Gordon Joseloff, CBS News, Tokyo.
John Hinckley Jr. is now in St. Elizabeth's Mental Hospital in Washington. He will undergo evaluation to determine if and when he is sane enough to be released. Hinckley's parents say they will not seek his freedom until he's recovered to the point he's judged to be harmless and responsible. A nationwide sense of outrage has built up over Hinckley's being found not guilty, by reason of insanity, of charges that he shot President Reagan and 3 others in March 1981. Several members of the federal court jury that found him not guilty say the law was at fault. Fire broke out this morning aboard an Amtrak passenger train at Gibson, California. Authorities say 2 people were killed and an undetermined number of passengers were taken to hospitals. All of a sudden, that magnificent bird, the Canada goose, has become a bird of controversy. David Culhane in Bergen County, New Jersey, explains why.
For generations, Americans cherished the sight and sound of migrating Canada geese. People counted themselves lucky to see these birds wintering in their gardens and on their farms. But a few decades ago, many southern states found they were no longer getting the Canada geese for the winter. Naturally, the southerners suspected the Yankees. The Yankees started feeding the geese and protecting them from hunting, and naturally they stopped migrating. Who needs thousands of miles of headwinds if you are well-fed and happy in the north? But the geese overplayed their hand or wing. They crowded out the golfers. They made lawns and greens slippery with their droppings. The result? This month in New York and New Jersey, they are being hunted down, herded into nets, and slapped into trucks. It is all happening during the 3 weeks when they are molting, when they cannot fly very well. Hundreds of geese and goslings are being shipped to Georgia and South Carolina and other southern states that are delighted to have them back. Since they seem to have lost their migratory patterns, the expectation is that the birds will settle down in their new homes. Once again, Yankees are giving southerners the bird. David Culhane, CBS News, in Bergen County, New Jersey.
The Senate today is set to complete congressional action on the compromise budget plan for fiscal 83. The House gave its approval yesterday, 210 to 208. The dollar opened sharply higher today on the overseas markets, and gold dropped below $300 an ounce for the second time this week. It's trading around 297 in Zurich, just barely above 300 in London.
Newsbreak. The end appears near for the Equal Rights Amendment. It's been 10 years since Congress approved the measure, 10 years in which 35 states gave their approval. But then ERA hit a brick wall. Approval by the other three states needed to make it part of the Constitution seems just not to be had. Last night, Illinois lawmakers rejected ERA again. Florida did the same the day before. And there's only a week left before time runs out. I'm Christopher Glenn, CBS News. In a minute, the leader of the National Organization for Women talks about what's next.
Hello?
Dave, old neighbor. Oh. Well, wasn't my barbecue last night the best this block has ever seen?
It's 6 a.m, Fred.
Caldwell had thirds on the steak.
It's 6 a.m, Fred.
Did you see Moriarty's mouth water over those burgers?
It's 6 a.m, Fred.
And DeWitt's kids were in a frenzy over my Frank.
It's 6 a.m, Fred. Why are you up so early?
I had to get up early. My grill's a mess. Have you any idea how much work awaits me?
Then use Easy Off Oven Cleaner, Fred.
Easy Off? Are you dreaming, Dave? It's a grill, not an oven.
Easy Off works great cleaning grill racks. Spray it on and it softens all that cooked on stuff. So after 30 minutes, you just sponge and rinse it off.
That fast?
Yes, Fred.
That easy?
Yes, Fred.
Boy, what a guy couldn't do without neighbors like you.
Easy Off makes grill cleaning easier.
Regular or lemon scented.
Hello?
You want to see the shiniest grill on the block?
It's 6:30 in the morning, Fred.
Easy Off work. You were right.
It's a beautiful day, weather-wise, in Washington, but a very gloomy one for Eleanor Smeal, president of the National Organization for Women. She was interviewed out of doors for the CBS Morning News and worried about the future of the Equal Rights Amendment. She feels the push for passage has been hampered by what ERA is designed to correct, sex discrimination.
Basically, we have been lobbying and literally begging men who have other interests. For example, the Equal Rights Amendment, we know there has been a silent lobby by corporate interests, insurance interests, people who know and profit from sex discrimination.
She feels some lawmakers don't listen to the people who elect them.
They are insensitive, really, to constituent demands when they are not politically determining their own interests. You see, their interests and sometimes their constituents are great variants, and more women must be in there.
Supporters of ERA have charged that some big corporations have been working behind the scenes to defeat the amendment. Eleanor Smeal says state house lobbying has played a large part in the fate of the measure.
Their lobbyists are there day in and day out. The corporate lobbyists are there way more than the people's lobbyists for interest regarding human rights. And what you can see is when we are fighting for specific eliminations of sex discrimination that companies profit from, they're there fighting us.
Some of the debate over ERA has implied that the amendment is unnecessary since many states have their own anti-discrimination laws.
The argument that it's redundant is the most silly of all, because if it was just redundant, why are they fighting it so hard? They know full well that women do not have equal rights under the law. It's a disgrace. In essence, what has happened to women as we have been not in the center of decision-making, we have not been participants of decision-making. One of the reasons that we've had so much trouble passing the Equal Rights Amendment is that we are on the outside, and what we now must do is take political power, go into these legislatures. You know, in this particular legislature, we're about 10% of those people voting. We're essentially tokens in there. It's men determining women's rights.
And what if, as expected, ERA does now die? What next?
We're going to fundraise heavily. Right now, we're raising at the level of about $1 million a month. We know we must raise more if we're going to get more women into political office to represent women directly.
And in the end, what have 10 years of effort taught?
Essentially, what we have learned in this whole process is that women are not simply being represented in a fair way. If they were, an amendment that has support of 2-to-1 in the nation would not have had trouble in these isolated few legislatures.
Eleanor Smeal, the president of NOW. And now this.
Lots of friends are dropping by, summer fun's in store. With picnic time and camping time, it's country time for sure. Before you all get thirsty, here's a tip that should be made. Get a drink that tastes like good old-fashioned lemonade.
Country time, country time.
Get down to your store for plenty of country time lemonade flavor drink. Look for the country time coupon in this Sunday's paper.
Tastes like good old-fashioned lemonade.
Newsbreak, Wednesday, June 23rd, 1982. I'm Christopher Glenn, CBS News.
CBS News, this is Richard C. Hottle at United Nations headquarters.
Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher of Great Britain this morning addressed the UN General Assembly's special session on disarmament and gave different accents to the issue. The goal, she said, is peace. Not peace at any price, but peace with freedom and justice. Arms control could damage peace, Mrs. Thatcher went on, if it creates the impression of military weakness, a temptation to aggressors. She repudiated starting a nuclear war as not a rational option, but added, nuclear weapons, with their terrifying destructive power, must be seen as deterrents which have kept the peace between East and West for 37 years. Every effort should be made to reduce the levels of nuclear weapons, she continued, but also to deal with conventional arms.
Since Nagasaki, there have been no conflicts in which nuclear weapons have been used. But there have been something like 140 conflicts fought with conventional weapons in which up to 10 million people have died. Nuclear war is indeed a terrible threat, but conventional war is a terrible reality.
Decisive action is needed, Mrs. Thatcher asserted, not just declarations or freezes. She dismissed the Soviet contention that an arms balance now exists, spoke of a heavily weighted advantage of the Warsaw Pact armies in Europe, and charged that events in Poland and the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan indicate underlying instability. We believe, she concluded, that the best safeguard of peace lies not only in a just cause, but in a secure defense. My colleague Douglas Edwards will have more news after this message.
Lots of friends are dropping by. Summer fun's in store. With picnic time and camping time, it's country time for sure. Before you all get thirsty, here's a tip that should be made. Get a drink that tastes like good old-fashioned lemonade.
Country time! Country time!
Get down to your store for plenty of country time lemonade flavored drink. For the Country Time coupon in this Sunday's paper.
Tastes like an old-fashioned lemonade.
I'm Lorette Rupi, Director of Peace Corps. In 60 countries around the world, Peace Corps volunteers are sharing their skills and knowledge with people who really need them. But we need more volunteers, and we need them now. Volunteers are urgently needed in agriculture, math, science, and biology. Call Peace Corps now for more information, 800-424-8580. It's the toughest job you'll ever love.
A public service message of this station.
And Peace Corps.
Trial judges may continue to keep either the press or the public out of their courtrooms, but the courts will have to make such decisions on a case-by-case basis. The Supreme Court has ruled unconstitutional a Massachusetts law which called for closed trials in all rape and sexual abuse cases where the victims were younger than 18. The power of state governments to regulate corporate takeovers will be limited by a Supreme Court decision today, which overturns an Illinois law that imposed many restrictions on corporate acquisitions. 35 other states have similar laws. In a strict interpretation of the rule that an illegally obtained confession cannot be used as evidence in a criminal trial, the court has reversed the robbery conviction of an Alabama man who had been arrested without probable cause and subsequently confessed. The fighting goes on in Lebanon, where Israeli air and ground forces are battling Syrian and PLO troops in the mountains east of Beirut. There's also heavy fighting near the Beirut airport. The State Department says the U.S. Embassy in the city has moved its personnel and operations to other locations because of increasing concern about the possibility of an all-out Israeli attack on PLO hideouts in Beirut itself. An Argentine diplomat says that if Argentina's newly designated president, Reynaldo Bioni, is officially inaugurated as president, he intends to open negotiations with Great Britain to formally end the Falklands War. Britain has been asking for such a formal declaration of the end of the war by Argentina ever since Argentine troops on the Falklands surrendered June 14th. Wall Street this hour, the Dow Jones average down about a half point, volume 25 million shares. Now this.
Good listening abounds during the middle of the day on CBS Radio. Why? Because Bob Keeshan's here with The Subject is Young People. There's Charles Osgood with his Osgood File and Ida LeShan with Getting Along. Charles Crawford reports on health, science, and you. Then it's Stephanie Shelton with What's Happening.
All these are yours around the middle of the day. And there's more. CBS Radio is great in the late afternoon because of the Reasoner Report with Harry's witty and perceptive comments. Dan Rather reporting with thoughtful, probing news analysis. Doug Poling has financial news on Today in Business. And Douglas Edwards is here to wrap up the day's top news on the world tonight. Plus, you get valuable local news and information you need to know. Great listening during the middle of the day and in the late afternoon from the CBS Radio Network. Hear it here.
8 bells at the National Cathedral in Washington are to ring at this hour and keep on ringing for 3/4 of an hour. The occasion to honor the new son of Prince Charles and Princess Diana. Douglas Edwards, CBS News.